Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word that we have just heard. Help us to receive from it the comfort that we might need, the challenge that we need to feel. Help us to see it as your truth, and that if we follow it, we will be your disciples. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Simon Cowell, the English reality television judge and producer, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, is best known for being a judge on the reality show American Idol. But he's also the one who was behind the popular reality show America's Got Talent. In fact, he started it in England with Britain's Got Talent, which he is still a judge of. This show has spawned spin-offs in 58 countries worldwide. America's Got Talent is a show where people come on, they share an act or sing or share some unusual talent in hopes of progressing to the next round. The winners, or I should say winner, because it's not only one winner, receives $1 million and gets a chance to make it big on the Las Vegas Strip. Now this show, at least the performers in it, are not just adults. There are also children and youth who come on this show and perform. In fact, the 2017 series final winner was Darcy Lynn, a 12-year-old ventriloquist. And she's pretty incredible. You can go on YouTube and see a lot of the winners of America's Got Talent, and she's on there as well. The premise of the show is that in America and all of the countries where there is a Got Talent franchise, there is a lot of talent that is unknown, unused, because people don't have a way to showcase their talent. They don't have a way of getting known. The kind of those people that do it for friends and family at parties and so forth, but with Thanksgiving dinners. But they don't have a way of getting out in front of everybody. And the show seeks to give them that opportunity. Just getting on the show can be a wonderful experience, an opportunity for some aspiring artist or actor or comedian or singer or whatever talent they have. Now, today, our gospel reading, Jesus shares the parable of the talents. Granted, he's talking about money in this parable. Or is he? A talent in the New Testament times was a measure of weight and a measure of value. In terms of value, there are different ideas as to what a talent was worth in the time of Jesus. But some calculate that the talent in the parables was equivalent to 20 years of wages for the common worker. Others say that the talent was somewhere between $1,000 to $30,000 today. That's a lot of money. And I'm sure if someone came to us today and offered us one, two, or five talents with a New Testament value attached to it, we would surely accept it with thanksgiving. Now, unlike some of the parables of Jesus that he tells, we get this one. You know, last week I talked about the ten maidens, and it seemed like Jesus was almost saying in the parable, take care of yourself first. And as we talk, that's not the case. But this one we get. You get something loaned to you, you take care of it, you invest it. You try to make it better. You don't just hide it. I recall the story of my father. One time in his later years at work, he was known as a guy who liked to grow things and was pretty decent at it. And so one of his workers at Alcoa was going on vacation. And so he gave Dad a little pot, a potted plant. And it had this one little dry stalk kind of going up like this. And he said, "Dick, could you take care of this while I'm gone?" And Dad said, "Okay, I will." So he took it home and watered it. But the thing didn't green up. It just kind of shriveled up more and more. And finally, when the guy came back, Dad said to him, "I've watered it every day and it just wasn't growing. I'm so sorry. I think I might have killed it." The guy started laughing. It was a rat's tail that had been stuck in the pot. They played a trick on Dad. And so when he retired, he got another one. But the parable speaks to good stewardship and investment sense. But you and I know this parable isn't about just money. As I said, last week we talked about the 10 maidens with oil lamps. That was about our need to be prepared. That was about taking care of our spiritual lives so that we won't miss out when God breaks into our lives and we will see it. But today's passage builds on that and says, you better be using your talents that God has given you so that God can see your good work when God shows up. So that we might hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, I've said this before, a lot of times before. Faithfulness to God is not just about believing in God or believing in Jesus. It's also about doing the acts that build the kingdom of God. And when we hide the talent, we are saying we only believe in God, but we don't feel the need to do the works part. And my friends, that's a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the question comes to us today. Do we have talents? As individuals? As a family of faith? Have we been given talents? Well, I will tell you right now that if you say no, then you are hiding something in the ground. All of us here today have talents, and more than likely it's plural, talents. I'm reminded of a story that I heard before, well, I've shared before. The pastor stood before the congregation and said, "I have bad news and good news and bad news." He said, "First, the bad news is the church needs a new roof." And the congregation groaned. We've been there recently. We know what that feels like. "The good news is," he said, "that we have enough money for the new roof." And there was this ripple of relief going through the people. He said, "The bad news is, it's still in your pockets." We hear today that churches are struggling. And I don't mean just small churches, large churches. All churches are struggling. Struggling to raise funds, struggling to find new members, struggling to figure out what we're called to do and be in the communities that have changed around us. And the good news is that in each of those churches, they have the talents to get them where they need to be. In 1977, and I know I'm dating myself here, folks, the movie Oh God came out with John Denver and George Burns, who played God. And in the movie, John's character, Jerry Landers, asked God, "Why did you come? Why did you come and bother me?" And Burns, as God, talks about how people need to start believing. He says, "I want to say to everyone that everything around them that they can see and smell and feel and hear, they should delight in all of this. That what is here is some of my very best ideas. And I want everyone to try hard to make sure it doesn't all go down the drain." God has given us what we need. In this church, we have people who are caring. We have people that are great cooks. Well, most of you are great cooks. We have people who are good at sharing with others. We have people that have the ability to reach out and touch people in wonderful, powerful ways. We've got many talents in this church. This church has got talent. And every church has got talent. This parable challenges us not to bury it out of fear that we will not be successful or that we'll be looked down upon as one of those Christians. We certainly won't be successful if we don't use them and try. We may be looked down on by some people, but you know, we won't be looked down by God, on by God. And isn't that the one that we want to appeal to? Once upon a time, there was a farmhouse, famous house builder and painter. After designing the homes, he would then build and then paint them. As a painter, he was such an amazing artist that he didn't even need drop cloths. He had a steady hand, and he was finicky about using good brushes and quality paint. So there were no drips, just tight trim lines. And this craftsman always designed, built, and painted the homes all by himself, with his own hands. But then this one day, he had this wonderful idea. As he was standing by one of his houses, he saw a bunch of kids walking home from the local elementary school. They were minding their own business, laughing and carrying backpacks, until he shouted, "Hey, kids!" And then they looked up, startled and awestruck, because everyone in town knew about his amazing skills. And he asked them a surprising question. How would you like to do some painting? "What do you mean?" "I'll tell you what. I'll give you each a bucket of paint and a brush, and you can paint my new house. You want to give it a try?" "For real?" they squealed with delight. The painter nodded as he said, "Yep, for real." "Cool," the kids replied. And he opened up the back of his truck, pulled out a load of brushes and paint cans, pried open the paint cans, and they started splashing paint on his garage door. They got paint on the sidewalk, too, and on some on each other. But they also got a lot of paint on the house, all different colors, especially on the parts of the house that were under 4 feet high. And as other kids came by on the sidewalk, they asked, "Hey, can we do that?" And they joined in. In about an hour, most of the first floor was now covered with paint. And the house painter's neighbors came over after dinner and took it all in. "What's going on?" Another one blurted out, "Look, I got to be honest. Your house looks like a tornado ripped through Sherwin-Williams." "What were you thinking?" "Well," the house painter said, "of course I could have painted the house all by myself. But I've always built and painted houses in order to bring joy to others. So based on that goal, this is the most beautiful house I've ever made." Then dozens of their friends will want to come to this house. They'll bring their friends to show them what they've painted. And each one will say, "This is the home of the master painter and builder, but it's also our house." In the same way, when God the Father, the master creator and painter of the world, pours out his Holy Spirit on his followers, he hands every single one of us a can of paint and a brush. And he said, "Go to work. Use your gifts and let's paint a beautiful house for the world." He gives us all a paintbrush and a can of paint. That's our challenge. That's our gifts that God has given us to paint the kingdom. How will we use those? How will we build new relationships? You know, the season of Thanksgiving, we think about what we are thankful for. But let's also, we're thankful for what's been given to us. But I always like the idea of going one step further. And let's use our talents to help others to feel thankful. Amen.